see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study tonight. On this Wednesday evening, welcome. Well, family, here we are. The broadcast this afternoon, I tell you, that one got a little hot. I don't know if that's going to go over. I revealed a lot of things that's going on against our military forces. It's been going on for decades upon decades and decades. Decades, and then some. Veterans could see, I'm a former veteran, but the veterans could see it as this guy here is a liberal. Wait a minute, he uses conservative language too. I'm neither. I follow Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm a seeker of truth. Without any bias, any connection to any organization, movement, petition, or whatever. I don't get involved in all that. I like to keep my mind clear of any of these weights that hold you down. That's why I never understood the Republican-Democrat idea. I mean, I always thought, well, it doesn't make sense to me, really. I always ask the question, what if you're... because your family or I don't know, whatever. You say you're a Democrat. You have to register and all that stuff. Well, who says you got to vote that? I mean, what if a Republican side, you know, has a better idea or something? I like him better. Well, I can't vote for him because I'm a Democrat. That's got to be the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. So it didn't make sense to me. So I knew there's something wasn't right about the whole system. You know, all along, I didn't really care because then I found out that the voting doesn't even count. that the president of the United States, in fact, is appointed, never elected. The facade has been elections. It's never happened since George Washington. It's always been a facade. Testimony back in the 90s confirmed that the elections are rigged. Always have been since back in George Washington. All the presidents are appointed because they're family members. Of one bloodline family. So it's like, wow, when I found that out, I said, this something's wrong here. It's just a facade. And all these millions of people go to these conventions and all this stuff and prayed around with all those signs and all stuff, for nothing. I mean, it's like almost silly. Almost silly. Because they pick the president with two alternatives before they even get in high school. Yeah, that's true. Kind of blows everything to pieces, don't it? It's fact. Anyway, Satan is prince of this world. Prince. Not king. God is king of the universe, king of this world. But Satan is allowed to operate for now. I want to talk tomorrow about Satan and the demon spirits, of how they operate. You got to know your enemy, how to take them down. No pun intended. It's a very important part. Nobody ever talks about that. You start running away, but there's your enemy. And your enemy controls all the governments on this planet. Aha, now I got your attention. They're not just something that's supernatural, just floating around and, you know, like on a broomstick and say, oh, I want to dive bomb that one. No, they control the governments in this world with a Luciferian agenda called the fallen angels. They got new age names this generation linked up to the new age movement. This is how things are going. Everybody's so concerned about a dictatorship and the NDAA and Agenda 21 and FEMA camps and guillotines and, oh, they got a colored sticker on my, you know, on my post office box or something. Everybody's concerned about all this stuff, you know, that to keep you all distracted in fear, worry, apprehension. It's like a moth being drawn to the flame. And when it's drawn to the flame, it burns. The moth is not going to the flame to try to put it out. You know what I mean? So everybody wants to hear all the negative stuff. Don't give me that negative stuff. Yet they go to it. Whew, what a minute. What's going on here? You know, I want solutions. To get solutions, I got to find out what makes it tick. That's military thinking. It's called an intelligence estimate. You got to learn the reality about the enemy. And there's times that you may not be able to attack if you don't have the weaponry. You need overwhelming odds. You may have to infiltrate from the inside to take him down. Oh, by the way, that's called the fifth column strategy. But the reality is, the supernatural rules this world and universe. Satan is prince of the air, means the universe, physical universe, and earth. God is king over all and allows Satan latitude to move, to operate, to sift out the wheat and the tares. He uses evil to bring good. He allows evil to operate for now. Evil thinks that it can defeat God with knowledge, because evil does not have discernment and wisdom. So they're using God's creation against God. It's real. People like Joint Chief of Staff or presidents or kings or queens, they're nothing, man. They're nothing but slaves to the fallen angels. And those below that don't know it, they'll never understand why things are done or not done. They'll never understand it. The books written today are pretty much worthless. They just tell you about the secular humanist point of view of a human aspect, but they don't know about the supernatural, which rules it, which directs it. So we got to explain it from our dimensional capacity. The reality is the supernatural. Well, tomorrow I want to talk about demon spirits and how they operate. The manifestation of demons, how they really influence in our lives. When you hear about deaths occurring, man wipes out whole family and so forth and all this, drugs facilitate it, but the demonic entities are what causes it. Yeah, sure, the human is involved and certainly will be convicted by man's laws that reflect do not murder, do not steal, etc. That's what's supposed to work. But the supernatural influences the bodies, and I'll tell you why tomorrow. I may discuss it tonight. Let's see where I go with this. But this is the rule. People can run away from it, like I said today earlier about history, but it ain't going to change the facts. Man, you got to take a stand somewhere about decisions, about what's going on. Dedicate the broadcast. Today I'm going to talk about a little bit about the creation of man, wrap up, and then get into the three heavens and how they're working, and we'll move into the supernatural and the fall of man. We'll start getting into that, and there's some other aspects of this I want to talk about later on this week. I got a particular schedule I want to try to look up because this is complicated. I want to make it kind of easy as I can for a complicated subject. That's what I try to do. Lord, we come together tonight. Thank you, Father, for another broadcast, another Bible study. Lord, we come before you tonight. We put upon the cross our sins, and Lord, that we'll lay them down before you, that we ask you for your forgiveness. Lord, to lead us tonight in this study. Father, guide us with your discernment and wisdom. Protect us tonight. Protect us in the future, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Protect us from the demonic entities that influence the eruptions that happen. Father, give us direction and a path to follow. And desire to learn your word. We pray, Father, for the rest of this week to cover us with the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, you'll guide us in the right way. Give us wisdom and discernment. Give us knowledge of the times to come that, Father, we'll last through. Witness to others. And give us the strength and the courage. These things we pray, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today, this day, our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, there's still folks fighting hard, man, hard, against the King James Bible. Just this afternoon, I got another one, man, on the hook. It's on my Facebook. And an absolute, clear example of what I've been talking about. And the cookie cutter responses that you get, it's like they take a cue card and they read off the cue card. It's like they're trained. They got the same responses. And they don't realize when you really study this and you hear it, it's like a recorder. of responses. For example, the one here I bagged on my Facebook is, you know, these people are serious. I wrote in this one where it says missing is the word charity not in your Bible. It talks about the other Bibles that's missing. And I indicated there is only one book. Because God is not a God of confusion and contradictions. So other books contradict even each other. And then the person wrote, and Christ is not relegated to one simple translation of his word, especially one that's added verses that are not his own. Yeah, they added verses all right, because the others were missing. And then he named me a King James onlyist. sad, who thinks God speaks only through one book alone. And it says the King James uses less manuscripts than newer versions. That's completely false. King James had 5,000 manuscripts from Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, English, and Latin to translate to English. 5,000 documents. I mean, they completely go against any history. That's basic history in the desperation. It's just amazing. They say it's not the most accurate, but it's, clearly it is, because it's got all the verses. The others removed them. So, you see, and each one's got a different response, but it's a cookie cutter when you keep a collection of them. It's all the same. Everybody's got the same 5 or 10 responses, like they learned it somewhere or something. It's amazing. Because they want to get rid of the King James as fast as they can. And they will. Oh, yeah. When the falling away and the man of sin is revealed, the book of Enoch will take on a whole new meaning for those that want to follow about the fallen angels. They even think the book of Enoch was written by Enoch, and it was not. It's impossible for it to be written by Enoch. Even they tell you it was after the flood, and Enoch was taken before the flood. They have different dates from when the book of Enoch was written, but it's always after the flood. Well, Enoch was taken before the flood. Then some say that, well, Moses passed it on. No, he didn't pass it on. He passed on the prophecy, yeah. The spoken prophecy of Enoch to his generation, yeah. But not a book. He didn't write a book. Tonight, I want to talk about the three heavens. We talked about creation and the creation of man. And if you want to, you know, get the details, you can go back to last night's Bible study. And we got to, the creation of the earth. And we're talking about the creation of man and different systems of the body, how incredible that it was. And people take that for granted. You know, that Adam's body was, Adam was the first man. He's head of the whole human race. The first man he was. Wasn't humans before. It's important that you know what Adam was like. Adam was formed with three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The body is the outer part of man, which can be seen. And the soul is the inner part of man, which cannot be seen. And the spirit is the innermost part of man by which he can commune with God. So, in these three areas of three parts of man, his body, his home is to be on earth. Because God made body for Adam out of the earth, and the Bible says the first man is of the earth, earthly. With his body, man can see, hear, touch, and taste, and smell. So he has contact with the world around him. body which God created for man is actually an amazing body. Evolution's impossible. And the marvels of the body, God made the human ear. It's like a grand piano, if you will, except that it's a million times smaller, has 100 times as many strings. Wow. And these nerves enable the ear to distinguish between thousands of sounds. Tiny, yet perfection. And the human eye. It's more remarkable than any camera ever been designed. Kodiak could never come up to it. It's the wonder of wonders, the human eye. Not counting the insects and animals are different. Nature did that? Come on now. We aliens created you, man. Oh, really? Well, what did you do with the animals? Did you create them too? How come people don't ask these questions? Did you create animals too, alien? Ascended Master, alien fallen angel, Sananda, all you guys? Yeah, you big boy. So you created mankind too. I see. So who created the animals and the insects? Did you do that as well? It's a basic question. What's the problem? Answer it for me, please. Oh, by the way, you know Jesus Christ? He's going to kick your butt. You know, God made the heart of man so it could beat 100,000 times a day and work a lifetime without requiring replacement. Evolved? From what? If it evolved from something less, that something less couldn't live. You know, God made the brain of man so that it would do tons and tons of complicated computers could not do. Yet they have analog-type computers, AIs, artificial intelligence. They try to pit man against the computer. They have TV and movies, but the computer doesn't have emotion, you know. Danger, danger, Will Robinson, you know, I don't know what. You know, the human brain contains more nerve lines than all the telephone lines in the world. All of them put together, and yet it weighs less than 3 pounds. And every part of that human body is a testimony to the infinite wisdom and skill of God who created it. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, Adam's soul, something else. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I talked last night that Genesis 1 is a general description of the, like a scientific method, that general description of the creation. He created man, Genesis 1. And then Genesis 2 is simply a detailed description of him creating man. It's not two different creations or two different groups of human beings. That's what Christian identity comes up with as dead wrong. It's not a theory. People make up stuff as they go along. But they want you to doubt this because they want you to believe that you lived before. That you're angels. That's what Arnold Murray. And by the way, Arnold Murray, Herbert Armstrong, and the rest are linked up to Christian identity. Sacred name movement. Hebrew roots movement. I'm going to specifically talk about those this week. But all this is linked up to what I'm talking about tonight, about trying to discredit the King James Bible and bring in the Antichrist. bringing the New Age movement and all that, it's linked up to Christian identity as well, to cause chaos, and then you get order. But bring in the fallen angels. As the creators. It's a big picture. So Nanda Emmanuel. There's about 66 of them. That's another story. You know, you can see the body of a person, but you can't see the soul. The soul is like energy. It's your personality, your character. The pineal gland and the silver cord is part of this connection. So, the soul of man consists of three parts. The mind, emotions, and the will. With his mind, Adam could think. With his emotions, he could love. With free will, he had unconditional love. And with his will, he could choose. And God gives us choices all the time. That's what it's all about, is choices. Because he could think and love and choose, Adam was a living soul. Seeing quite amazing things with animals today. A parakeet feeding a dog. You know, part of this happening, you wonder, I know what the New Agers are using this for. The New Agers are using these YouTube presentations to say, even look, even the animals are now expanding their mind into a Christ consciousness. Oh yeah, that's what they're telling their disciples. This new coming nexus and fifth dimension, all this sort of thing. Adam had a mind. He could think. He was a person of high intelligence. He had the power to think clearly, and he expressed his thoughts and words. There's no doubt that his mental powers were very great. He's created in the image of God at first. And he is actually given the task of naming all the creatures. Genesis 2, verse 19. He had emotions. He could love. As a person, he loved and expressed his love. And he created Adam with an emotional nature that he too could love and express his love. So, from the Bible, you know that God's capable of other emotions also. It's reflected through Adam. God hates sin. Adam too. He's given the power to hate that which was wrong. Adam had a will. He could choose. He could choose what he would do. He could choose to obey God or could choose to disobey God. That's where the trees were put there. And the trees, as some people try to get people to believe, extravagantly too, that the trees were people. That trees is a code word for people in the Bible. Yeah. And the fruit was sex. So fruit, trees, is people having sex. I kid you not. This is what some of the cultist Christian identity, Herbert Armstrong groups, that's what they believe. Oh, goodness. But, you know, since Adam was free to choose, he was responsible for his choices. He couldn't say that someone forced him to act against his will. When he sinned, though, they all tried to pass the guilt, didn't they? And the responsibility. Adam's spirit is created with a body and soul. Well, Adam had something else that made him different from all the other creatures. Yeah, spirit. John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, what is this thing called spirit relative to a soul? Well, spirit is that part of man which can know God and receive his life. See, man's spirit was created so God could have a place to dwell in man. You kind of think of the spirit as a room deep inside of a man. or woman. Kind of a room intended only for God's Spirit. Because God made man with a spirit. God's Spirit can dwell in man. But Satan can't dwell there when you've taken God as Jesus Christ as your Savior. Duality is not possible. That's a New Age thinking. It's a duality. It's taught in the TV. My Little Pony teaches it. Yin and the Yang. Freemasonry. They have the black and white checkerboard floor. In movies, you see the checkerboard floor. That's what that means. Is black and white. Ebony and ivory. Good and evil can reside together. That's false. See, God created man for his glory. The only way that the man can glorify God is by having God's Spirit dwelling inside him and controlling him. That's why God made Adam with a spirit. God actually wanted Adam to receive his life and be controlled by a spirit. That's where you get your strength from. Your knowledge, your wisdom, discernment. So now, the rub is, as for all of us, apart from that, Adam would never be able to fulfill God's purpose. So Satan takes control of those that want to go with him, vindicates them with rewards. That's why it's called the Rain Man in Hollywood, as a code word. We're created by God, created to glorify God, and accountable to God and God alone. The laws of the land are supposed to reflect the Ten Commandments. When you start changing the laws of the land away from the Ten Commandments, you run into a lot of trouble. And that's what they're trying to do today. That's the bottom line. They know what they're doing. If you get God to turn away from the country, it gives Satan more latitude to lock in to his new world order. How do you do that? By increasing the number of homosexual marriages approved or authorized in different states. Legalizing abortion. All kinds of things that's going to cause, that's going against God by the laws of the land. Now you got trouble. And that's the purpose of all this going on today. ACLU, ADL, NAACP. This is what they use. KKK, Black Panthers, Tea Party. Every organization is used to defer and separate, divide, and depends on the mission of it. NAACP's got the racial issue. ACLU's got the religious issue. And they operate. They're controlled by the Vatican. So the ones that seem to be opposite of each other are really working for the same organization. It's how Satan works. The people don't realize this. Everybody looks at the Bible as a book of history. No, it's a book of future. History in there to lay the background, but it's about the future. It hadn't happened yet, some of it. It's called the Revelation. Well, at the end of Gentile dispensation, unlike a lot of the sects, FCCTS, they don't believe in dispensation, but dispensations are factual. The beast will reunite with the image to the beast and the incarnation of Pope, then the apostasy. You know, there's three heavens in the Bible. The first two heavens are natural. Third heaven is a spiritual heaven. There's two parts to heaven before Jesus Christ died. Rose again. One was paradise, was a part of heaven. And was vacated. It was when Jesus Christ left for the 3 days after he had died on the cross, rose again. He descended into the dimension called paradise to preach to the old time saints. So then they would be taken to heaven. Then paradise no longer existed. is across pretty much from Hades and Sheol. Paul describes also being taken to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians. There are three heavens in the Bible, two physical, one spiritual. And throughout the Bible, heaven is an antithesis of hell, a perfect dialectic. The third heaven is where it's a beautiful paradise where God and his angels and his holy temple abide. The Lord is in his holy temple. The throne is in heaven, Psalms 11, verse 4. So it says, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand, on his left. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 18. And one you've heard many times, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the scriptures, heaven's not only refers to paradise, but paradise was the one first vacated, but also means sky, atmosphere, outer space, but primarily in the earth is the first heaven. The second heaven is space, outer space in the physical universe. That's the first and second heaven. Birds of the heavens appears frequently in the Bible. It's clearly sky or atmosphere, but not spiritual heaven. Heaven is spoken of as a domain of the sun, moon, and the stars. And least thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even the host of heaven. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. So the biblical heavens, divided up by the physical universe, second heaven, and the earth, first heaven, within the atmosphere. And the third heaven is where God resides, beyond the outer space, the physical outside. Now, the Bible actually identifies various levels of heaven that are distinct and unique from each other. Paul talks about it quite frequently in 2 Corinthians 12. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Was it real or was it a vision? Such as one caught up in the third heaven. Now, how that he is caught up into this third heaven and heard unspeakable words, which are not lawful for a man to utter. Second Corinthians 12, verse 2 to 4. Paul identifies the place he's taken up as paradise, but indicating that the third heaven is paradise or heaven. So if Paul regards spiritual heaven of paradise as the third heaven, then you'll know about the first and second. Atmosphere is the first. Outer space is the second. And the third is outside of the universe entirely. Now, we read last night in Bible study that God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. God called the firmament heaven, and evening and morning was the second day. So imagine waters out in the space, and NASA hadn't told you about this. The Bible talks about it. The NASA scientists and so forth are under a blood oath not to reveal any truth. So their credibility is gone right there. So what's it really like out in space? We really don't know. History, the books, a lot of it's fabricated. Much discussion that we didn't even go to the moon, which is more believable that we didn't when you know the science of it. The Van Allen belt protects all from getting cooked like in the microwave. Go outside of it, instantly cook you. They say, well, we have materials that defeat, that misdirect it and distract from it and so forth. Well, no, you don't. They've been lying all along about that. The Bible corrects man, not the other way around. And most all of the NASA scientists, operators, astronauts, are all Freemasons. I should tell you something right there. What are they hiding? And even the Iron Mountain Report, in conclusions of how to control people in a time of peace, 1966 to now, they have as two of their objectives of about 10 or 15. To design a space research program aimed at unreachable targets and to design an extraterrestrial threat. That's in the, it's in the planning stages of the Iron Mountain Report. It's been set up all along. Well, you have God's throne, the third heaven, above the waters and above the firmament. So if you draw a line underneath God's throne, that's the waters above the firmament and God's throne. Then below that line, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So below the waters of the firmament of the third heaven is a separation. Below is the second heaven, the vacuum of outer space. Then you got another line above the earth. That's the top of the atmosphere where it stops. That's the beginning of the first heaven on earth. Then you have the waters on the earth's surface. That's the seas. So last night I described these days. That gives you an idea of how he set it up and how we're set up. And it really doesn't fit the scientific knowledge of today. So begin to wonder, how real are they? And what they got to hide? Now, within this second heaven where Satan resides, there are seven principalities. I'm going to describe those here shortly. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, just a recap of how the universe is shaped up. And this is way past, you know, they can't never decide how old the Earth is. 4 to 6 billion years old. No, no, 12 to 15 billion. Then they got up to 20 billion. All kinds of different. Then they go back to 4 to 6 billion. They can never come up with an exact number. It always changes. You ever notice that? Hebrew word for heavens is shamim. It's a plural word meaning heights, elevations. It's found in the first verse of the Bible we've talked about. And the Bible teaches us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He did not make another heaven after this time. So the phrase heavens and earth are used to indicate the whole universe. That does have an east and west, north and south, because they'll run into the third heaven. It'll stop. That's some heavy stuff right there. And even according to Jewish tradition, from the Bible, there's three heavens. All of them attribute God as the creator, not aliens. Psalms 102, verse 25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Well, actually, in Psalms 102, 25, In Psalms 102, 25, it says that of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. There's other words used in Hebrew. The word Merom, which is also used in Psalms 168:18, Psalms 93, verse 4, and Psalms 102:19. And they're kind of equivalent to Shamim, Hebrew Galagel. It's kind of like a wheel, rendered heaven in Psalms 77:18, a whirlwind. Hebrew Shakak is translated sky, Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. Plural clouds, Job 35:5 and Psalm 68:34, refers to the firmament. The Bible speaks of three heavens, not seven. And these are not dimensions, per se. The first being our immediate atmosphere, the second, outer space, as far as it stretches out. When it stops, the third heaven takes over as a place where God dwells. It's called the Father's house. I pretty much described those. The only one that's kind of difficult to ferret out is the second heaven. It doesn't come right out and tell you, but it talks about the starry heavens in Deuteronomy 17:3 or Jeremiah 8:2 and Matthew 24:29. Second heaven, the starry heavens, our atmosphere ends. It's a heaven in which sun, moon, and stars are fixed in orbit around the earth. Stars seem like they're endless, and the distance between them is just staggering. And the size of some of these suns are just unbelievable. All of them are necessary for life to sustain itself on Earth. Well, that goes against original teaching, don't it? But life is so delicate now that the slightest change would cause life to cease or be manipulated in some way, and it wouldn't be good. God set it all up that it would be good. So, it takes us to the seven principalities. Principalities, powers, darkness. I know you've heard that before. Because this is where Satan comes in. And the seven principalities of Satan. Now, Satan's organized hell into seven major divisions. They're called principalities. And what he's done to these seven major divisions, principalities, he's placed a powerful demon at the head of each principality. If you don't believe in the supernatural, you're not going to get this. And these demons control mankind as they're allowed to in seven areas. I've talked about this before. Seven areas, in case I got new listeners. The seven areas that they control education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. It's part of the seven. And they're setting these up to achieve the New World Order. That's how important it is. And the reason to talk about this is that you may begin to understand the goodness of God as opposed to evilness of the devil. You got two parameters. They're often blurred and changed around and confused, whereby evil is wrongfully attributed to God. And that's what's going on today. They create the disasters and blame God on it. And they use clergymen to do it. Technology can control the weather, earthquakes, tornadoes, through HAARP. And before technology, Satan is prince of the air. His supernatural ability could also affect the weather. And then those that are working with Satan. God did this to you because this, that, and another reason. But when Satan's doing it all along. But you don't understand the goodness of God is first and foremost in spiritual warfare. Without him, you're not going to be able to execute it or deal with it. His right name is Jesus, not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, whatever that is. No, sir. It's not it. So, the Apostle Paul, he instructs us to put on the spiritual armor because our battle is in this world is a spiritual one. The warfare is involving trickery and power of the devil as opposed to human battle. It's a supernatural war. Tomorrow I'm going to talk more about it, about the demons, how they operate. You would not believe how much you're protected by God's power. People that just ignore that, well, you know, I do good deeds, maybe I won't go straight to burning hell, but you know, whatever. It's no whatever. For an example, those who do not have God on this earth, and he's here in the Holy Spirit, as you call upon him, this is the purpose of the drugs, the alcohol, all the sinning, is to take the place of a lack of God. That's huge what I've just said. And he's here. I mean, he's the Holy Spirit's around for all you got to do is call upon him. But in hell, he's not there. In the Spirit, he's there, but he's not going to have communion with you there in hell. He's everywhere. But once you've died and went to hell, you no longer have an opportunity to get back on track. The fallen angels won't. The human being won't either. But you have replacements for that missing thing. That's the Holy Spirit that you're missing. That's what you're missing. So they go to drugs. It's temporary. Stealing. Temporary. Climb Mount Everest. Yeah. When he's done, it's like, well, okay. They got another one? Himalayas. I go to the Himalayas. Can never rest. Can't rest on your laurels. Or the holly bush. Can't rest there. Always something new, something different, something better. Never rest. They climb Mount Everest because that's the ultimate. When they get up there, they say, well, I got to do something else now. They do that, they got to do something else now. It's because they're missing God. So now, can you imagine be totally cut off? No opportunity. You can't imagine. Jesus Christ was with God, Holy Spirit, we're all the same, together, before he was born. He was here as a creator, Jesus was. Adam, he walked in the garden with him. That's where God was walking. That was Jesus Christ. And even before that, eternally, he's always been with him. Now, do you remember when he was praying in the garden? He knew that separation was coming. That he had to be separated for that brief time. When the skies went dark, he became sin on the cross of Calvary. Death was temporary, but he had to experience it. Even for that short time, let this cup pass, means he wasn't going to, not that he was praying it'd be taken away, but that it would pass in time quicker. Okay. For that short time that he's praying to let this cup pass faster, he's sweating blood. Because he knew that separation would be so horrific, even for that short time. We as human beings can't imagine it. So the fires of hell, you can only imagine that's 1,000 times more. But just the separation is bad enough. But the deal of these principalities, powers, and world rulers of darkness is putting on that spiritual armor. Ephesians 6:12. And right now, human beings will play a role in line with the schemes of the devil through the New Age movement, the New World Order. But they're being used by these entities for the purpose of accomplishing evil. Channeling, overshadowing, three different phases. I've talked about this before. And evil spirits are the true power behind those who oppose the things of God. So our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. See, now you have flesh and blood. Wait a minute. Didn't it say in the Bible that Eve was flesh of his flesh, bones of his bones? What happened to blood then? He didn't have any. Only when he sinned, cast out of the Garden of Eden, Adam began to die. But they had to replenish the earth, so it was a long term. Blood entered his body supernaturally because it had to nourish the cells. Because as soon as he sinned, he was dead to God. That's how important it is. And blood ran through the veins. Then heart began pumping. Eve then received pain in childbirth. Instead of eating of the trees freely, Adam had to till the ground with the sweat of his brow to eat and provide. That's what sin brought to mankind. But through Jesus Christ, taking him as your Savior, repenting of sins, you put it back on track when that day comes in a day of glory. But not yet. Death is a dividing line. Or in the end times, being lifted up before death. But either way, you're not of this world when you become born again. How do you know this? Well, very simply, you don't do the same things you used to do. You start changing. If you have no visible change in your behavior and the way you do things, something's wrong. Because you'll start changing. For we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the ruler, darkness, world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. So in Ephesians 6:12, you'll find, you know, sometimes this is frustrating because some of the works and the research you do, they don't have King James Bible verses. They have other verses. When are they going to learn? You know, you got to be really careful sometimes. That's what they do. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Boy, they just want to keep on messing with the Bible, don't they? So your spiritual warfare is against the principalities. And this concept of principalities is understood by the Greek word arche, A-R-C-H-E, meaning chief or ruler. And the principalities are ruling pretty much devil spirits and possess executive authority or governmental rule in the world. That's heavy. Because that's the reality of what's going on today. People's not understanding. Professors in these colleges and other places that are secular, humanists, atheists or whatever, don't believe it. They don't believe in truth or in the supernatural. They don't realize that we're describing our political situation, economic situation, why it's happening. They're never going to understand it. Because you see, Satan's world system includes commerce and politics, religion, education, entertainment, all the world kingdoms, world organizations, many other things. And this world system he set up, Satan offers people power and riches and possessions and worldly honors. That's where Carnegie's Illuminati. Did y'all know it? Rhodes Scholarship, Cecil Rhodes is Illuminati. Now you get the idea. Freemasonry, you get these aprons with all these doodads and knickknacks on them. And each time you go up a degree, you get little rewards. That's how it works. You have intellectual achievement, that's what it's all about. Social prestige is favorite parking place, maybe. All kinds of sinful pleasures. Satan could give people about anything they would want. Just make them satisfied, remain under the rule, and leave God out of their lives because they're missing God and they take up addictions. That's what that is from. It's spiritual warfare. It's not some Freud was working with Tavistock, behavior think tank in London. Freud was an occultist. That ought to be a clue, as was Helena Blavatsky and Helen Keller. Family, if you know half of the history of how we've been fooled, oh, it'll blow you away. People don't like hearing this. But it's true. So as you see it, the ruling power involves a particular nation, people, or race. There's evil angels ruling the kingdoms of the world that oppose the truth of God, and of which Satan is the chief prince or ruler. And he's both the world system and the organization of demons, as I've talked about before, and I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And Matthew talks about it. Matthew 12:24, the devil is called Beelzebub. You ever heard that before? It means the Lord of the dwelling. You finally hear these things in movies today, don't you? And they dwell, the wicked spirits are subject to operate under Satan's dominion in the second heaven. They, like their chief prince, direct, control, rule, I'll carry out the present darkness of this world. Principalities. A territory ruled by a prince or from which a prince derives his title. It's a position, authority, or jurisdiction of a prince or sovereignty. And as using the Bible, the idea of a prince, devil, in these spirits ruling or controlling a region, you'll find the Old Testament book of Daniel. Go to chapter 10. And there, Daniel's visited by an angel in response to his prayer to God. And so the angel, who was sent by God to answer David's prayer, was delayed for 3 weeks. And why? Because a battle had took place between God's angel and a prince of the kingdom of Persia. Daniel 10, 12 to 13. Now that's, I don't know how angels fight. I can't imagine. They get bound, so that means they don't get dissipated or annihilated. But they can be chained. How's that work? When they fight, how they fight? I don't know. I find it amazing how it works, but I don't know how it works. If I'm amazed, it does. In Daniel 10, verse 13, 12 to 13, Daniel 10, 12 to 13 says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God," that means repent of his sin, "the words, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So he called in Michael to have him get through. Now they have a fake Michael and Gabriel in the New Age movement. And these are ascended masters, they call them. And they are fake. You know, the spiritual battle for this one angel was of such magnitude that Michael the archangel and designated prince of Israel assisted the angel to battle. And you have another enemy, and the prince of Greece is also mentioned in the verses Daniel 10, 20 to 21. It says, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come." That's Greece. That's one of the fallen angels. Daniel 10, 21. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me, in some things, these things, but Michael, your prince." We needed help. You had one angel in the Old Testament that killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Now that's some serious fighting with one angel. You know, sometimes it really, when you start reading these things, you wonder, am I supposed to learn this stuff? But you got to know what you're dealing with, because this is the rule, not the exception. And the book of Daniel gives you really good examples of how these unseen spiritual wars and fight they'd have to increase and maintain their influence and control in order to hinder God's purposes, even to cause us to go astray. So you'll notice that these princes of these countries are named after the nation, not the principality in which they rule. So, all along, it's Satan's purpose to deceive the nations. It's in the scripture. And to keep them from getting knowledge of God's truth and salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. It's where it comes in. We got to separate church and state. Yeah. So you don't draw conclusions based on the connection between church and state that inextricably connected. Kind of the same thing here. They want you connecting dots. So now if you go to the book of Revelation, which is yet to happen, Revelation verse 20, or chapter 20, Satan here depicted as a deceiver of all the nations. So the Greek word for deceive is planao, P-L-A-N-A-H-O, planao, right? I think I messed that up. But if you go to Strong's dictionary here, cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to go astray, seduce, or wander, or to be out of the way. So now how does Satan deceive a full nation? Because they don't have discernment on part of the people. That's why. If they've been through the Illuminati, they've taken rituals of not only themselves, but their children as well, to make sure that the Holy Spirit can't touch them. Sodomy, murder, all kinds of different ways to get the Spirit out of them so they can be possessed or overshadowed. These people are blind to the invisible forces of supernatural evil that are operating and pretty much influencing their visible human agents of social, political, religious, and philosophical programs. Those are called ashram rays. And you know what Satan's greatest victory is he's achieved pretty much it. It's convincing the world he doesn't exist. He's got you then. His greatest victory would be to convince the world he doesn't exist. Well, God signifies the devil as the author of sin, sickness, and death. Tells us to be alert, vigilant, because the devil is a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour. You have heard that before, haven't you? So Satan, pretty much the devil, controls the kingdoms of the world, and we're just not able to underestimate his influence and power. That's why the Holy Spirit's there. God's telling us to stand against these evil forces and equipping ourselves with the power of God and looking into Christ as our example. There's only one. And now, today, you've got how many of our former leaders and claim to be Christian at first are saying there's many ways, many ways. When in reality, there's only one that you give glory to. That's what it all boils down to. You see, people will have to learn the hard way, it seems. Those of you now that are studying and you know something's coming, don't you? You know something's coming. Everybody's worried about all this stuff, afraid of this, afraid of that. Granted, there's some things coming down. But you got to keep your eye on God, and that's what they're trying to do, is keep your eyes off of God. That's their plan. That's the plan they have. Question is, you going to let them do it? Now, they're going to come at you. They're going to come at you. That's a guarantee. But the one you got to do is keep your eyes on the ball. And the ball is Jesus Christ. And he's the one. He's the one you got to place your trust in. Not Obama, not Rand Paul, not Ron Paul. Not somebody else are going to come popping up out of nowhere. Not Putin, Tane, not any one human being. Not one. But the only one is this one. Right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, family, that's what it's going to come down to. I may talk about this tomorrow and we'll tell you, but it fits more tomorrow. But right now, a lot of shows going on today. Everybody's concerned about the March in May. Everybody's concerned about the fall of the dollar. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. Don't know when. It's in God's time, though. The UFOs, World War III. Moon is over here. The Hagee is that blood moon hoax. I can't believe a man would spend all that time to do this book. There's bookshelves throughout the United States. The four blood moons. And it's worthless. It's totally worthless. It is. There's no such thing as four blood moons. Now, can they make something happen on the moons? Yeah. Because they control, right now, as allowed by God, they control like the harp and illusions and all this sort of thing. But there's no 3 days of darkness. It's not in the Bible. So how come these so-called religious experts are talking about 3 days of darkness? It's not there in the Bible. There's no 3 days of darkness. What are they talking about there, Cletus? Not in the Bible. They can make up what they want to. They may even have 3 days of darkness. That's not of God, though. Everybody's buying ammunition. Go buy your guns. I believe in home protection and all that, you know. And when they start the helter-skelter and home invasion and all that, I believe in protecting your homes and whatever. But, family, let's get realistic here. Someone told me today, hey, Tom, I said, what? So-and-so and so-and-so bought a Glock. I said, oh, okay, that's good. He got his Glock today, finally. I said, okay, that's good. I said, well, I got a question for you. Did he buy ammunition, too? Yeah, he three-box limits in Walmart. Oh, okay, he got three, okay, ammunition. I said, well, I got a question for you. What happens when you run out of ammo? How much ammo can you carry, really? When you run out of it, like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, what are you going to do then? Say, hold everything. I'm going to go to Walmart and restock and come back and continue the fight. No. What you got, a piece of metal in your hand when it runs out, an open charging handle, bolt? It means to stop shooting. It's open. There's no more bullets there. No more bullets. You got a piece of metal in your hand. And it's not even a good boomerang either. What do you do then? All the food you got. Got to stock up on food. Sure. First 10 days, 2 weeks, 6 months, whatever money you got. But here's my point. I'm not saying not be prepared and all that. But the reality is, you're going to run out. Whatever it is, you're going to run out of it. And you can starve yourself to death looking at it if you want to. You know, or you can shoot whatever, but you're going to run out of everything. What do you do then? Really? Nobody's talking about that. Get your bug-out bag. Where are you going? How far are you going to get? What cave do you know that nobody... And then when you get to the cave that nobody knows about, where are you going to eat? What are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to live off the land like Swiss Family Robinson or something? Or see, there's people out there in the Ozarks and all things. They think they're going to be out there planting seeds and building log cabins or living under the ground in some. They don't understand what they're dealing with. And it happens that when these things get ugly, if people go to God then, after, when they should be going to God before. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Joint Chief of Staff, you should listen to that. Because therein lies your answer. It always has been. But they won't. God's going to use the tribulations to ferret those of wheat and tares. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Martin Luther King talked about repent. Individually repent. Well, I'll probably talk more about this tomorrow night, the principalities, the powers of darkness. But to give an idea, I'm also going to talk about evolution a little bit tomorrow night. And we'll cover some areas of about the dinosaurs. We'll speak about that. But the seven principalities, Regi, it's a principality of the occult. Things are under the occult. Witches, witchcraft, Harry Potter, witchcraft, sorcery. Modern translations of the Bible, they list witchcraft as sorcery. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Sorcery is the use of drugs that are actually occult drugs. That's why they want the New Atlantis in the North American continent. Because the resources, it's here. I'll talk more about this tomorrow night. About the exact seven principalities. I'm laying the groundwork today to move on to the next stage. Second principality is Lazarus, L-A-Z-E-R-S, is sexual lust, and that says it right there. Lazarus, sexual lust is what it is. And Bacchus. Bacchus was a Roman god of wine. Pretty close to what he says, what he was, a principality of addictions, what it is. They had wine back then, it wasn't fruit juice. That's why it says not to drink in excess. Jesus sinned. How did he do that? Well, he used wine, somebody told me. He turned water into wine. He facilitated it. I said, oh, please. Is that, they used wine for the drink that day. They didn't have Coca-Cola, you understand? That's why it said don't get drunk. Don't in excess. Like Noah did. Yeah. They weren't innocent back then. Addiction. A demon of addiction. Cigarettes, that's where you get all that from. Addiction is a god. It's a principality. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, that's to lead people away from God. It's a New Age concept. The fourth one, Bacchus is addiction. The fourth one is Pan. Pan is a principality of the mind. The devil's favorite playground. And that's where technology comes in. When you say to sanctify the spirit, soul, and body, this is the soul, the mind. The pineal gland, the silver cord. The names of the demons that operate this principality. Demon of rejection. See, these things, these emotional, these events in our lives are demonic. Sounds crazy, don't it? He's also over neurologia, depression, suicide, schizophrenia, paranoia, all the mental illnesses are demonic. Or induced by drugs, causing possession to occur. That's why people with rejection problems have deep depression, try to kill themselves. They're able to synthesize demonic activity by technology even. You're all starting to get the idea here, what's really going on behind the scenes? That's why they give our troops 20 to 30 drugs. That's why the CIA is experimenting with LSD. It opens up portals. Now I'm telling you exactly how it's done. set, there's a principality of death. Michael Kino opened up the temple of Set, the principality of death he invoked. Michael Kino is working at the Pentagon, has for decades, head of the MK Ultra. Yeah. The founder of the principle of the temple of Set. Well, Set is a principality of death. He was the Egyptian god of the underworld, and same thing. Set is over all sicknesses. In fact, there's 39 major illnesses, by the way. Well, that's what they say today, pretty much. Unless Fort Detrick decides to create another illness. Oh, you're right. You heard me right. So the occult credits him with 39 powers, 39 little subgroups, and it's seeing what they've got today. That's why they create the diseases. So the first is Regi, principality of occult. Two is Lazarus, sexual lust. And you got Bacchus, the principality of addiction, demon of addiction. Four is Pan, principality of the mind, demon of rejection, depression, suicide, schizophrenia. And Set's the principality of death. I got to look up the sixth principality. But the seventh is the principality of contentment. You come to church, you might even come to Sunday nights, and if you're good, you might even show up at a prayer meeting on Wednesday, but that's if you have a few problems during the week and you need a religious fix to be content. So they make you malcontent. Contentment. The air of contentment. I'm going to explain these more tomorrow. There's your principalities. You know, I keep talking about, I've heard all these things about principalities, powers of darkness. I said, what's the dickens is a principality? Started looking it up. Family, we come to the end of the program tonight. We'll tell you that the fifth one is Medit, demon of hate, murder, killing, war, jealousy, envy, and gossip. That's one of them I let out. That's why they have it on TV. It's got it all covered. Sixth is the demon of death, Set. Seventh is the Christian demon. The demon has no set name. He has a powerful, most witches won't even bother with him, getting Christians to talk about each other and gossiping, causing strife inside the churches. The apostasy, very powerful demon. Got it covered. We'll talk about that in more detail tomorrow and then include how they operate. Might be real interesting tomorrow that to find out what operates around you. There's billions of them. It's assigned. These are your so-called aliens that they talk about. Stephen Greer, he's part of them. He's part of the fraud about aliens, which are fallen angels. Demons, they're not telling you this. They don't tell you this because they don't want you to know how to fight it. How do you fight it? Through Jesus Christ. But you got to be linked up to Jesus, meaning you got to be born again, because you're going to see them. And deliverance, you're going to have the powers to deliver people. They don't want you to know that. They even took it out of the Bible, Matthew 17:21. Praying and fasting for the worst demons. King James Bible's got it. The other Bible's removed it. That's how you do it. They don't want you to know that. There are solutions, but people aren't getting it. They're trying to find secular solutions for spiritual problems. Well, there you go. Not going to work. Well, family, tonight, I appreciate y'all coming by this Bible study. Tomorrow night we'll continue on. And about how this world is made up supernaturally. Because you got to know your enemy. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this Bible study. Father, to lead us with your Holy Spirit, guide us along, give us knowledge and discernment, Lord, through your scriptures. We pray tonight that we learn the truth, that we learn how to defeat the supernatural, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. And Father, to give us this instruction, to set us up for, Father, for the spiritual warfare that's yet to come. And Father, to guide us with the day-to-day spiritual warfare. And equip us for this war coming. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, there you go. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about some solutions, some details about spiritual warfare and how they're made up and how they act. So you got to know them. That'll be Thursday. And then I'll announce Thursday or Friday what we're going to talk about Friday night Bible study. Let y'all know that we're broadcasted. Randomly, our shows are played up at highportradio.net, highportradio.net. John Kirkler owns it, and he's putting up a tower every month, expanding his broadcasting. His email is highportradio@yahoo.com. Also, we played at KBLU Radio out in Colorado, Blue Raven Network. And we have archives and a show also on RevelationRadioNetwork.com. And we have past shows there. And my show's there also on Monday, 8 to 10 p.m., just on Mondays. You know my regular schedule, Monday through Friday here, and Friday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday Bible study is 7:30 to 9. My Facebook, can go visit it if you'd like. Watchman for Jesus. My website, watchmanforjesus.com, and I've got my archives placed there, and you can download them or use them, whatever. So I appreciate y'all dropping by tonight, and because your enemy's spiritual. People aren't getting it. They're fighting as supernatural beings working through the physical world. It's all about spiritual warfare. And it's going to come down to it in the end. And you got to be ready. Y'all have a good night. And God bless. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the broadcast. And, hey, have a great night. God's with you. Trust in Him. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off. From the sky, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Thank you. Good night. God bless. Signing off.